Welcome back to Here's What I Do Get from South to North, West to East, the only formerly hate and rage filled podcast now tackling life's greatest pleasures. I'm your host, Tab Burton. With me today, as always, my friend, the old man in the sea, Tim the Handlebreaker.
What's the C stand for?
The C is silent. We just finished episode two. Oh, I didn't even mention that episode 255 was your 200th episode.
Yeah, 200.
Fuck that up. I can't believe it. I can't believe you've done 200 episodes of this podcast, not counting the three episodes you missed.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this 200 does count the ones you missed, but I mean, you haven't done them in a row or anything. So, you know, that's kind of embarrassing. I don't know how many I've done in a row. I have to go.
It's a lot more when you take in the mini-sodes, bonus episodes.
Oh, yeah. Really, when you start counting the movie commentaries and like the individual episode commentaries and what's wrong with space and all the before and afters, it's probably 300 episodes.
Oh, at least. Yeah.
320 maybe.
Well, we do, a mini-sode and a bonus-sode and a movie commentary a month.
Yeah.
Minimum.
Yeah.
So that's 36 more episodes per year.
Yeah. So that's four of those. So that's another 120.
Yeah.
So that's 320 plus minimum. All the random stuff. So it might be 375, 400.
Yeah.
Holy shit. We got to get a life. do something other than watching some shitty horror movies. We watched a James Bond movie this weekend.
Yeah.
Which one? The World Is Not Enough. Pretty good movie.
Been a while since I've seen that one.
It's a good flick.
Yes. It's
better or worse than No Time to Die?
I had a lot of thoughts about No Time to Die while I was watching The World Is Not Enough. Not because they're similar, mm-hmm. but just because I had recently seen it mm-hmm. the day before. I think I like No Time to Die better.
Really?
Yeah.
I think your brain might be broken.
You haven't seen it yet, so I don't want to say anything about it.
Yeah.
I might have fucking hated The World Is Not Enough.
Yeah.
And might have liked No Time to Die a little bit better than fucking hated it. So.
I'd like to kick that. trying to figure out... Vandy license plate.
Yeah.
Is there
anything better than C26A?
That's pretty good. But I don't know how much leg, what kind of legs it has.
Yeah.
Right? Because if it's people probably won't even get it now, let alone in a year when it's up again. You uh-huh. go like, seat 26, why is your thing seat 26A? And I go, because I like to fly. When I fly, it's that's seat 26A. I like to wear a Burger King crown and a bandana. Oh, boy. Well, Tim, you ready to get into some do-gets?
Yes, I am.
Well, what's your first do-get this
Here's
week?
Here's what I do get. The micro-genre that is the survival game.
Yeah.
I talked about it on the regular episode. I started watching Squid Game. It's in that micro genre, because it's not horror. They can be survival games can be horror. They can be
was
action.
That Belko experiment? That was a survival.
Yeah,
game.
Belko experiment. That was a survival, game kind of thing. But yeah, it runs the gamut from Saw to Battle Royale and a bunch of. And I was thinking about it because Squid Game is South Korean. Battle Royale was Japanese. We've gotten like Belko experiment and Saw here in the US. But other than that, I mean, I'm sure there are other indie US made films. And the Hunger Games.
But yes.
people a lot talk about how that kind of ripped off in Battle Royale.
Yeah, kind of. kind of all the way.
We don't get a lot of it in the U.S., which is why I think one of the reasons Squid Game is got popular.
I wonder if there's a cultural reason for that.
That's what I was saying, because I was thinking specifically, like, it's a much larger... I think it's still a micro genre, but it's much larger in... the Asian countries.
Yeah. I wonder if that has to do with their...
I think it totally has to do with a cultural difference.
I was going to say specifically their higher population density and the way they're more at competition for resources than we are.
Yeah.
But whereas a lot of China or Japan, they're in these mega city, like they're much closer to the mega city of Judge Dredd than we are. Yeah. And so there's a competition for resources. There's a competition for mates. There's a competition for jobs. And so your life is constantly in that type of setting. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it creates a writer who sees that as more in, they see that more. So they kind of extrapolate that into a thing. Whereas we don't as much because we live in the land of plenty where even the poor have cable and a big screen TV.
Yeah. I think that's definitely part of it. I was thinking of a sort of more a not fondness, but so I don't know if you know this as a statistic, 99% or maybe it might be 99.9% of criminal trials in Japan end with a guilty verdict.
I didn't know that.
They have a much different relationship from what I have gathered with law.
Well, it's generally, 'cause they live by the Bushido code.
Generally much more as a whole law abiding citizens.
Well, so is crime Gerard
is
Butler.
Taken. Crime is taken very seriously. So the concept of a brutal game or scenario, survival scenario. The other thing that is part of that, I think, is the survival aspect. The part of it that is throughout all of them is the eventual decline in humanity and morality that you get. And I wonder if that's also was established in, you know, things like Battle Royale, as the sort of more put upon, there's the facade, it might be a more universal thing, but the facade that people put on in public.
Yeah. I also think maybe it has to do with their like wacky ideas of game shows in general.
That too, yeah.
You know, American James game shows, you spin the wheel, you shout out a letter, and
you would
like to buy a vowel, an I. I'd like to buy, you know, spin again, G, two Gs. And then, or you spin the prices wheel and you try and get a dollar, or you're guessing the price of stuff or answering trivia questions or what. Like, really, our game shows kind of come down to trivia, luck, and then there's the things like, what's the one? Is it All American Ninja?
American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, where you're doing like the obstacle course. That's more challenge focused.
Yeah.
Survivor.
Wipeout.
But for the most part, it's just like trivia games or games where you're dealing with some kind of luck.
Luck or money of some sort.
Whereas Japanese game shows, they're dealing with that too, but then they're putting them in these weird ass situations. Yeah, like they have to wade through paint, or there was the one, there's the bunch of gifs that came out of one where there's five things in this room that are made of chocolate.
Yeah. And there's that gif of the guy biting the doorknob and it bites off like chocolate and he goes, whoa.
Anyway, sorry. Eating the chocolate. So that kind of extrapolates out with some of these other cultural things into the idea of a game where what if you died? I think I saw one of my sisters watching part of that. They're doing like extreme red light, green light, where if you moved, you got shot.
That's a good game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll watch some of those movies, but I don't know. I wouldn't consider myself into that as a genre. Yeah.
No, I love it. In fact, I'm glad that I have been able to finally, like, it's only recently that, like, places have added survival as, like, a genre to, like, categorize stuff into. 'Cause I also like the stuff that isn't a game.
Yes, like The Revenant. Or 127 hours.
Yes, yeah, that's on the less stuff, but part of it is the group aspect. When it's a group that mm-hmm. gets, you know, lost even, you know. That was probably why I started watching it in the first place. Not just because it was the big TV show, but it was people stranded on an island trying, you know, having to survive. Because I watched a lot of, when I was a kid, I watched a lot of Survivor.
I remember watching the original seasons of Survivor when it first started.
That's kind of a weird take on it, right? It's, hey, you survive on this island and play wacky games.
Yes.
To continue.
Yeah, there's a YouTuber that I've caught a couple of his videos where he talks about how people hack challenges for Survivor.
Yeah.
You know, they design a challenge to be played a certain way, but people figure out another way to play it.
Yes.
Like, there was one where they were trying to, they had to drop like a cannonball through a hole in the boat and land in a basket, and that would release a thing, and then you went and did another thing. And so they had this aim, you're supposed to look over the side of the boat and drop to guess where you are, but this one guy's like, no, don't do that. Look through the hole that you dropped the cannonball through. And all these other teams are like having to slightly readjust it every time. And he's just like, all right, right there. Nailed it. And he does three or four in a row and they blast through the entire challenge.
Nice.
It was interesting. There was one where they're supposed to pour water from the top down to the bottom, and you were supposed to be this like zigzag of, and they're like, no, you can just make one single giant slide and boom, right in, winner. That's a good genre.
Yeah.
That's a good do get, Tim.
Like,
here's what I do get. Oktoberfest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get to celebrate our white heritage, how we're ethnically pure, and the way we have conquered other nations. And we get to do the chicken dance, a song that was that was invented here in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. It's Oktoberfest, a lot of fun. It's, you know, big beer festival. So you get to try all these different beers. They're singing these silly songs. Nobody really takes any of it seriously. You can dress up in lederhosen if you want, or you can just get a stupid little hat, walk around, shop tchotchkes, eat some really good food. Because they do like pretzels with beer cheese, bratwurst, you know, on a bun, off a bun. It's like food times 11.
I love German food.
Yeah.
Like traditional German food.
Only thing that's not good is sauerkraut.
I like sauerkraut. And it sucks that we don't have more like
German restaurants
here.
Yeah.
We got like maybe two.
Yeah, dude, going to Oktoberfest and finding one of the little places where they'll have the griddle and they're cooking bratwurst and having that put onto a big pretzel bun, mustard, all that stuff. Man, that's so good. Of course, most people put sauerkraut on theirs because they're degenerates. You get to sing those silly songs. People do dances. I don't know any of the dances. Chicken dance, obviously. The only thing that really downsides is people trying to throw pennies in your beer. That's really annoying. I don't know. Pick them up off the ground and try and throw them in your beer.
I already throw pennies in the trash.
I'd rather throw pennies at Joe Biden. That's what we should do with all the pennies. We should recall the pennies because they're about to be even more worthless.
Uh-huh.
And then just throw them at Joe Biden. Yeah. And Tulsa has the biggest Oktoberfest outside of Germany.
I believe so,
which is also awesome. And it's one of those things where it's not racist, right? Like, there's nothing tied to Oktoberfest that's bad. It's just, it's a fun event that we do every year where you just go and have fun and you don't talk about 1935 to 1940s,
which is
six.
Crazy that the crazy people haven't co-opted that yet.
Yeah, or that it hasn't been shut down because Germany bad. Like this, yeah. This is a thing that's all about alcoholism and ethnic pride. Like, yeah, yes, that's why it's great. And there's those big festivals like that. There's such a great energy in the air when you're in the big tent, you know, where they have the bands playing and they're doing the ziggy zaggy thing, and everybody's doing it and everyone's having a great time. And there's just you go and you have so much fun that you leave even if all you do is go and have a single beer and a single bratwurst and listen to one rendition of the Chicken Dance in the big tent, you leave and you're just like, boy, we had a great time. You can go. The other fun thing about Oktoberfest here is they set up rides and stuff. So you go during the day with your family, kids ride the rides. Maybe the parents ride the rides. There's do some little competition games that are fun. You see a couple little music acts, you eat some good food, and then the family leaves and you meet up with the boys and you start hitting the beers. I mean, it's really, there's something there for everyone. I can't completely articulate why it's fun or why it's, I don't know what I don't know. Like you said, why it hasn't been co-opted or gotten rid of or been shunned away the way we've kind of shunned so many other cultural things out, like this, we can't really celebrate this. Columbus Day right now, and that holiday just doesn't exist anymore. We completely erased it from the calendars. That seems like one that would have been targeted at some point in the last 10 or 15 years to be
to at the very least be like, remember on October Day to have a minute of silence
for all the Jews. Yeah. You never go to, there's no protesters outside of Oktoberfest with their the Holocaust didn't happen stuff. It seems bizarre. There's no, and everybody, when you're there, everybody's German. You don't have to be, it doesn't have to be your thing.
Yeah.
Everybody, as long as you can go, as long as you're willing to have a good time.
I wish that was the mindset for any festival like that.
Yeah, most things don't have that. They do what they do.
Yeah.
And if you're kind of not in with it, you're not.
Yeah, you can't go to this, you can't go to like a Mexican heritage festival.
Oh, yeah. No.
And do the same thing.
El Guapa used to do a Cinco de Mayo thing downtown, and it was not well received ever. It never really caught on. And then, I don't know, 2013 or 2014, they just kind of stopped doing it. And some people were like, hey, what happened to the Cinco de Mayo thing? And they're like, oh, we decided not to do it this year because of excuse. And then they just never did it again. And it's, there is a little bit of exclusivity to some of that stuff where Oktoberfest doesn't have it. I mean, it's at the river parks for crying out loud.
But like you go to Oktoberfest and you're like, yeah, man, I want to wear a funny hat and drink. I want to drink a lot of beer because that's what you Germans do. And I want to eat some sausages because that's what you Germans do. But it doesn't, that's what it sounds like. Mm-hmm. That's what it might sound like, but
at the end of the day, we all love sausage.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't go to a Mexican you can't go to a Mexican heritage festival and be like, I want to wear a sombrero cause that's what you Mexicans do.
Yeah.
And I want to eat a bunch of tacos cause that's what you Mexicans do. It's got a whole different,
way different connotation. Yeah. The other fun thing about Oktoberfest here is that it used to just be, we had Oktoberfest that was the big Linda Oktoberfest they did at the river parks, and that was it. And now they're getting these small satellite events.
Yeah.
There was an Oktoberfest this past weekend at Utica Square. There's an Oktoberfest this weekend, Welltown Brewing's doing downtown. then the big Oktoberfest is the weekend of the 20th. And it's just like, now Oktoberfest is spreading into being a whole month, and they're not trying to compete with one another. No. They're just like, do this one this weekend, yeah. do that one that yeah. weekend, and then do the big one. You're pre-gaming. It's also nice to see that, where it's not in competition. It's just more fun stuff to do. And I guess if you're like an Oktoberfest musician, like, what do you do the other 11 months of the year?
Yeah.
And I also think the food, one of the reasons the food is, we like the food more because it's less available, right? Like Cinco de Mayo party. It's like, I know where to get amazing street tacos yes. every day. Like, 16 hours a day yep. or something, how that yep. place is open. I know a half a dozen or more amazing Mexican restaurants.
You could go, you could have a whole week's worth of,
I could probably eat in Tulsa Mexican food for every meal and not eat at the same Mexican restaurant twice in a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
And them all be like, this is the good ones.
Yes.
Whereas at Siggy's, Fassler Hall,
which is,
it's not even really food. It's like bar food.
It's a bar that serves food,
sausage. Yeah, yeah.
It's Siggy's, and I think there's another place. Maybe
there's a place in Norman called Das Boot, but I don't think it's moved out here yet. But yeah, you just don't find that stuff every day. So it's like the fair food, like the footlong corn dog at the fair. That's yes. $7
or funnel cake.
A funnel cake, yeah. Not good for you. Not even really that good, but you don't get to have a foot-long corn dog every day of the yeah. year. So you're in the fair and you're like, I'm kind of hungry. I'll get a foot-long corn dog. And then you eat it and you go, that was fine.
That's fine. It was a corn dog. That was a corn dog.
That was definitely a corn dog. I am now set on my corn dogs for quite a while. Now on to the funnel cakes and deep-fried Oreos. Yes. Like whatever other silly thing is at the fair, the Oktoberfest is that same way, and that now I find, because the thing is, like, Siggy's and Fassler Hall, they put food tents there.
Yes.
And yet I never think to myself, oh, I'm going to go to Siggy's for lunch.
For lunch, yeah.
Like, I've had them cater events that I've been to and I've gone, oh, that's right, they have good food, but don't really pursue it, I guess. Lost my train of thought since I got interrupted with stupid text messages. Anyway, yes, I'm very much looking forward to Oktoberfest this year. I'm glad to have it back on. I had a lot of fun when I went 2 years ago, which now everything's back to normal. People can actually go enjoy themselves outdoors again.
You'd think.
I still see some idiots walking around wearing masks outside, probably with their fucking fake vaccine in them. Stupid. Well, that brings us to the middle of our episode, which means it's time to say thank you to all of our patrons, big and small, for supporting the show. If you're listening to this, you support us with at least $5 a month, and we really, really do appreciate it because it helps keep the show going, helps making it worth our while to squeeze this in, especially with all my crazy scheduling problems that I have to constantly deal with, like working a 4-hour shift that was actually a 2.5-hour shift this morning, and then... Actually, Tim has to work a shitload this week.
I do.
I've got him on the list. I'll have to have you do paperwork before we leave here just to make my life easier tomorrow. But yeah, thank you everybody for supporting the show. We really do appreciate it. And anyway, Tim, what is your next do get?
Here's what I do get. Fan petitions. And by fan petitions, I mean petitions by fans, not yeah. just... People try to petition for a lot of stuff online.
Yeah.
But the true fans of something can really start to make a difference. The most recent one that prompted this is hashtag free MVC2, Marvel versus Capcom 2. Mm-hmm. Because, it's one of those games that has been stuck. There was a 2008 re-release on Xbox Live Arcade that gave it online multiplayer on the 360.
God. I vaguely remember that as like a quasi-platform for Xbox.
Yeah, it was a digital download.
Well, did you you like logged into that and then the games were inside of that, right?
No, it was not one of those. It was just, it was on the Xbox.
Okay.
There was never a disc for it. That's what I'm trying to say. So like that's the most modern, and it has been, and then was delisted afterwards. So if you bought it in 2008 on 360, mm-hmm. that's the most modern way you can play that game. And which is crazy because this game, eventually 3 came out and eventually Infinite came out and fucking bombed. 2 is like the big one.
It's the one everyone wants.
The one everyone wants.
I only ever played 3 with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's now 20 years old, 21 years old. In an age where like all these games have been getting at least like re-releases with, you know, on a modern
platform. Yeah, yeah.
You know, even if it's, you know, still in 4x3, you know, just the ability to access it. But of course, you know, it's, we're now dealing with Disney.
Oh, that's right. And they love their whole Disney Vault nonsense.
Yeah. So, you know, that's a big part of why this game hasn't seen the light since 2008. But this free MVC2 movement has gotten gears turning.
A
Twitter hashtag.
Very nice.
Because it's not just people bombarding them with the hashtag. It's people have been like, hey, I found a new combo for this character in the game 20 years later.
Holy shit.
Here's the video. I made people doing fan art. They're doing remixes of the soundtrack. They're
really engaging with
really,
the material.
Yeah. You're really just showing that they're the people that want it back are actual fans and they want it back for a reason. And I love when this stuff is able to happen.
Yep. When it pays off, like when it, the Sonic thing,
right?
Great example of it. Adding characters into games post facto, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think they put that gaming grandma, they ended up making an NPC of her in the Elder Scrolls Online.
Yes. Yeah.
That kind of stuff. It really gives a lot of goodwill to your fan base, and it makes them feel like you're listening.
Yep.
When you engage and consider that, that'd be cool if that gets even just a re-release, not a remaster.
No, I mean a remaster would be a lot of work because that's all sprite based.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done old 2D fighting games. Made them HD. There was like Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD.
Not well
received.
Yeah. That was one of the cool features of the Switch was the retro. Oh, fuck, I forgot what I was talking about. This is just fucking the stupid fucking questions I get that have to be done via phone call. All the fucking information is in the fucking text message. Read the fucking text message. Ah, Jesus fucking Christ. They haven't paid for the show. Yeah, nobody has. They haven't paid yet. Please stop calling me. Ah. Fan petitions. What other successful fan petitions have there been?
I'm trying to think of... ones that are... doable that were successful. Because, I mean, you know, as soon as
Game of Thrones... Snyder Cut, that ended up...
That's right! Snyder Cut!
Yeah.
That was a big fan push.
Big fan push. They got what they wanted, which was a terrible movie.
Yeah. a longer version
of an already not good movie.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Superman 2, the Richard Donner cut. That was a fan push.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was a fan push, and I think fans ended up getting that and making it happen.
Huh.
Things like Star Wars Day happened because if it started out as a fun thing fans did, and then, of course, the corporation had to come in and destroy it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Star Wars, all the remasters of that.
Yeah.
Throughout the years, you know, the... Unspecial editioning
despecialized
them. HDing them with, you know, pre Blu-ray era.
Chuck was almost canceled in Chuck, its third season. And they sent Subway sandwiches to NBC, I believe. And NBC was like, wow, because not only was it fan wanting something, but they were spending money. They would send those $5 footlongs. You know, so if every fan's putting in $5, then maybe they'll spend more on an ad, and that ended up getting that show another season. Whether or not that season was good, I mean, that leads to be questioned.
It was more than one season, though. I think they got more than one additional season.
I thought I only had four seasons. Did they have four and five?
I thought it was four and five.
Well, I don't recall. Anyway, Star Trek, the original series, was going to be taken off the air at the end of the second season, and a huge letter writing campaign got them to approve it for a third season before it was canceled.
The TV show Jericho, around the time it was on, around the time Chuck was on, I recall they did a similar thing that didn't end up It didn't end up working.
They did that. They tried to do that with Firefly, and it didn't end up working. It doesn't always work.
No,
sometimes
it
does.
Work.
Sometimes it pays off, and sometimes the creator gets hit up with weird sexual harassment charges, and then disappears off the face of the earth to go make short films about feet. It's nice. As a fan of properties, I like to believe that I'm heard. It's one of the disappointing things of the new Star Trek is that there's so much backlash. There's so little interest, and yet they just want to stay the course. And what I don't know if they don't realize this or they just don't consider it to be worthy, but if you have big, enthusiastic fans, what you have are 1 million, 10 million free advertisers.
Yeah.
Because especially in the age of social media, like that Squid Game, right?
Yeah.
Social media is talking all about it, so everyone's watching it. Plus, the algorithm is
trying
to force it into your eyeballs. But in the age of social media, if I watch a show and I like it, like Letterkenny or What We Do in the Shadows, and then I'm like, hey, everyone should check out this thing, and three other people watch it, and then they do the same thing, and that's how you're getting viewers. You're not getting viewers by putting an ad on a YouTube video that I skip past immediately. Maybe you get viewers by putting up the recommended for you, but I blast right by that to my list on Netflix, or recently watched, whatever. But if someone's saying, hey, I watched Squid Game and it was pretty good, you should check it out. I'm much more likely to watch anything with a very laid back recommendation like that. Like, oh yeah, you might check out What We Do in the Shadows. I think maybe you recommended that movie to me.
The movie.
I think it was just offhand. I watched this movie. It's like a mockumentary about vampires. And I was like, oh, that sounds neat. And then, weeks or months later or something, I was looking for something to watch, and on Amazon it pops up, this is What We Do in the Shadows. I think Tim was talking about that. I'll give it a try. Loved it. I thought it was a great movie. I tried to show it to some people. Some of them liked it, some of them didn't. I've watched the TV show. It's pretty good. But it wasn't someone going like, it wasn't ads. It wasn't the push. Mm-hmm. It was just a good old-fashioned, hey, you should check this out.
Yeah.
And so the more... You don't have to like give in to their every whim, but if you're engaging with them, if you're listening and saying, yes, oh, okay, maybe we do need to release this remaster. Maybe we should rework this TV series. Maybe we should change the Sonic model. Maybe Garfield is a fucking digital nightmare monster and we shouldn't release this movie. You're going to, I think, in the long run, have people that want to see what you make.
Yeah.
Because we went and saw Sonic because, specifically, I wanted to see Sonic in theaters because they had listened to the fans. That was worth a lot to me.
Yeah.
That little bit of humility that they were able to show. It was awesome.
You don't see that.
No, so much. So often they stick their fingers in the ears, tell you to go fuck yourself, and then go la 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 la. And not Wendy's, bring back the Baconator. McDonald's, bring back the McRib, and those types of things. They generate goodwill and sales. I hope, obviously you want them to generate sales. They have to look at that Marvel versus Capcom 2. But surely it's not such a complicated development process that you can't make it back by selling it for $20 on Steam to 10,000 people. Yep. Even with Steam's cut, you know, that's $100,000. Is it going to take cost $100,000 to release it for PC now or to Xbox? What is it, Series X?
Yes,
that we're on now. I was gonna say Xbox One, but that's not right. instead of just doing the thing that they think is gonna work.
Yeah,
like remember how you guys liked the Arkham games a lot? Well, we're gonna release a game called Gotham Knights where you don't play as Batman. Yeah, but the reason why that game is good is because I played as Batman. Yeah. I didn't want to not play as Batman. I wanted to play as Batman. That's why I played a Batman game. But now you're playing Gotham Knights. You get to play as Robin and a bunch of other people that nobody gives a fuck about.
Robin and the other Robin and the other Robin.
Yeah, all white men, though. So they're bad. I want to play Batman. The only way I want to play Arkham games again from a different angle would be if I could play as a random henchman.
You want to be the random henchman that goes like, yeah, I know Batman took out 47 of us in this other room, but me with the pistol, I'm going to take him down. It's going to be me, not the Joker. Not Mr. Freeze, not the Penguin, or Two-Face, or even Bane. It's going to be me.
I'm
going to take out the Bat.
Imagine being that guy, right? Like, the whole squad, 50 people, and Batman is just laying fucking guys out. And a couple guys get some good suckers in, right? And then here you come along, and you lay him down one, and he just goes down. And you're like, what the fuck? And then the Joker's like, did you kill Batman? Like, I guess. Now you're my bitch, Joker.
Yeah.
Did you kill Batman?
No.
I think there's a Batman episode about that where Batman is killed and the guy who killed him is like run all around, and then you find out it was all a plot that Batman hatched to do something. I think it was an animated series episode. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. That's a good issue, Tim. Or that's a good do get. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Here's what I do get. Pizza. It's the perfect food.
Yeah.
It's got all the food groups in it, and it's shaped like the food pyramid.
Sure. Yeah.
And the thing that I love about pizza is it's yours. You can do it any way you want. You can do it. You like me. You like all meats. You like all vegetables. You like a mix of them in between.
I like a supreme.
Yeah. Some people, I hate the conversation that goes on, like, does blank belong on pizza? The answer is always yes.
Yes.
If you want it on your pizza.
If you want to put M&Ms and graham crackers and anchovies on your pizza.
Go for it.
Go for it.
And if you like it and you want to keep making it, to keep doing that.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, it's very easy to not make that pizza again. The whole pineapple on pizza argument of the internet, just pineapple doesn't belong on pizza. I get it. You don't like pineapple on pizza for some reason. Don't order that one.
Yeah.
That's the thing about pizzas is that you get the one that you normally, sometimes yeah. they fuck it up, but sure. usually you get the pizza that you order. Mm-hmm. So if you're like, I don't like pineapple on pizza, don't order Hawaiian pizza, just order a Canadian bacon pizza. Bam.
Yeah, there you go.
You're not obligated to use any toppings.
No.
Plus, best types of buffets, pizza buffets. I wish they would get rid of, we went to Cece's last week, which is a localish chain. I think it's.
Is it local?
Well, it's, I don't know how regional it is. Anyway, but it's just a pizza buffet and they have like a salad bar and a pasta bar and then the pizza bar. It's like, just get rid of those and just make more pizza bars.
More pizza. Do a salad pizza and a pasta pizza.
Yeah, gross. There was.
They had the mac and cheese pizza.
The only thing, that is true. The only thing I don't like about pizza buffets is they always slice the pieces like very, very small.
Very thin.
Yeah. Incredible Pizza is a arcade slash party place slash pizza buffet, and their pizza slices are 1 inch wide at the widest.
Yep.
So you end up getting six of them to make a single slice. And I know what their idea is.
I know
you're
the idea.
Getting like a little sliver, and you just get a bunch of little slivers, and you're good. That way the pizza goes further, but everyone's just getting three or four slices of pizza at a time to what look like. It does help with the count though. You remember when you were a kid, you go, that's the other thing about the pizza buffet. It was like, that was the treat as a kid.
So yes.
We get to go to Cece's. Oh, all the kids who get, you know, all A's this semester are going to a pizza party at Cece's. Like, fucking, how about I'm going to buckle down and study. By copying off what Tim's doing, because he's always on the A's.
Or go to Celebration Station.
Celebration Station also had a... I don't think they had a pizza buffet. I think they just served pizza.
No, they just served pizza.
Yeah. Chuck E. Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese.
Pizza's like ingrained into your childhood. The best day at the cafeteria was always pizza day. Yeah. And then it started to be pizza every day when... It was like, where's an option? Yeah. So you started to have options. Like, wow, I mean, it's still good. It's one of those pizzas, one of those versatile foods. You know, you order it. I ordered pizza tonight for us, right? We're watching movie night. Order, buy a bunch of pizza. We eat a bunch of pizza. We eat it hot right out of the thing. We leave it in the boxes on the counter. A few hours later, we're eating it lukewarm.
Room temp,
because we're still hungry.
Yeah.
And then put it in the fridge. And the next morning, I wake up, I eat it for breakfast, cold.
Cold. Yep.
Bam.
It's
the only food that you can eat at all the temperatures.
There are other foods you can do that with.
Soup. This nice warm soup. Oh, lukewarm soup. Yeah. Oh, cold soup.
But I will say, so much of my enjoyment of pizza comes from the ability to
reheat it.
No, not the ability to not reheat it.
There was a place
to not have to reheat it.
Yeah, there was a place in Norman that did pizza. It was called Pizza King, and their pizza was great right out of the box. Mm-hmm. But then it was also really good cold and really, really, it was almost better reheated. I put it, like, turn the oven on, put it on a piece of tin foil, and just let it toast up.
Something happens. You've experienced this before. Eating a cold pizza that you had the night before can sometimes taste dramatically different.
Yeah. Because taste is somehow tied to temperature.
It is. Yeah. But, like, you'll be like, man, I can taste the fennel so much more in this sausage when it's cold.
Yeah.
Now, as much as you said about how pizza is the ultimate customization food, I will judge you based on your pizza choices. Don't get me wrong.
Why? Why do you care?
I mean, I will judge you. Now, I will judge anyone, but...
Why me?
I mean, in the way I will judge my sister for her pizza choices... And I mean, like, make fun of you. Like, I don't care. You order, you have that whatever pizza. I'll still make fun of you for it, though.
For what? What's wrong with my pizzas?
Your pizzas are fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing I hate, though. I hate more than anything is cheese pizza.
Plain cheese pizza?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When someone orders the plain cheese pizza, like, oh, yeah, I'll just take a plain cheese pizza. Like, oh, great. So that's a pizza that nobody wants that's going to be left here. You're going to have one slice of it. You're going to eat all the other fucking pizzas, yep, too. Yeah. And then we're going to be trapped with this cheese pizza at the end of the night. You know what? I'm going to order a sausage pizza, and you can pick off the sausage, you picky bitch. And I like when you have a group of guys who just very simple. Let's just get the all meat pizza.
Yeah.
Don't need to get everybody likes all the meats.
Yes.
Well, there you go. We don't need to get vegetables involved here. We've already got vegetables in the tomato sauce. Yeah. Fruits, I guess you don't have. Well, no, I guess technically tomato sauce is a fruit sauce. So you do need the vegetables to have all the food groups. Bummer. Hoisted by my own retard. And there are dozens of different styles. You get the New York, the big, like big and flat,
big floppy, thin.
Yeah. The Chicago style, which is the big deep dish that's just all cheese.
No, Chicago serves lasagna.
It's basically lasagna. Yeah. Different regional, like we have Domino's and Mazzio's and Pizza Hut, but then we have some like small regional places like Mario's or Umberto's
or fucking pizza
pie hole.
I haven't had Umberto's in forever.
Me either. It's on the other side of town.
Yeah.
Dioro. And then you have like these boutique places that'll pop up like Andolini's, and there's a couple that have popped up near here.
Oh, the Jimmy's is
that
the new one?
What it's called. There's one that's real close, and there's one a couple miles away that I've seen that popped up recently. It's like Names New York style pizzeria.
That's Jimmy's. It's we've been there, but not this location.
Ah, yeah. And you can just try all the different types of pizzas, pizza places, calzones. I do love calzones.
I do like a calzone. The problem with a calzone is they make them too big.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Do you remember the Pizzone?
Yes.
The Pizzone is what I would like calzone to be.
There was a gas station chain that had these Delissimo pizzas. That's what they were called. And it was basically a Pizzone where it was a little mini single serve pizza that had been folded over into a taco shape that you could eat. Those things were fucking good. Those were the second grade. Those popped up and they just kind of came and went. They couldn't compete with Quick Trip, I guess.
There was a local place that was real cheap. I mean, as in they were competing with the Little Caesars Market.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of close to my place when I was in high school. I remember doing like a way back machine dig on it. Because you look around for like cheap pizza places here in town and you'll be like, oh, it was Simple Simon's. Like, no. Yeah. I've had Simple Simon's. It wasn't Simple Simon's. It was Cheesy's. Like, no, it wasn't Cheesy's. I know what Cheesy's is.
Hungry Howie's.
I know what Hungry Howie's is. And I remember that place was like, yeah, you come in here and, you know, you'll get a... This was before the hot and ready $5.
Uh-huh.
They're like, yeah, come in here in our tiny shop, and we'll give you a $5 pizza.
That's it. It's Little Caesars. Perfectly fine pizza. There's really hard to find bad ones.
It's hard.
It does happen.
It does.
But even the bad pizza, you can make it through.
You can make it through.
It'll make a turd.
A pizza will make me... You can put something on a pizza that I don't necessarily like.
Mm-hmm.
And I can still enjoy it.
Yeah.
We went to Pie Five once, you and me.
Yeah.
It was like Top That Pizza.
Yeah.
They didn't last very long.
Yeah, they went out of business. I remember that now. I remember the one we went to too, yes.
I ordered their Supreme Pizza. And they put green olives instead of black olives on their Supreme Pizza.
Yeah.
I detest green olives.
Me too. And also the African-American ones.
I like black olives. So yeah, they put green olives and they I didn't notice it beforehand until like I got the pizza and I was like, I don't want to be the asshole that's like, I don't like the thing that I ordered. Give me a new one.
Yeah. Especially because the line took forever.
Yeah. So I ate it and it was fine. They didn't ruin the pizza, mostly because they didn't keep their green olives in the brine.
Ah, so they were less olivey?
They were much less olivey, yeah.
Yeah, pizza.
It's essentially the perfect food. The only thing I can think of that...
If I ever met someone that was like, I don't like pizza and really, really meant that, I would not want to associate with them because they're probably like a serial killer.
A serial killer.
We got to check, you know, the Unabomber, John Wayne Gacy, all those guys, Ted Bundy. And you find out. I don't like pizza. Uh-huh.
The only thing I can think of that is close, is as close to pizza as like uniformly loved, but also like so customizable.
Is a sandwich?
Yeah, but I always equate a sandwich is more like a style of a meal.
Uh-huh.
I was going to say tacos.
Oh, people do love tacos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can do crunchy taco, soft taco. You do flour, corn.
Roast beef. fish roast beef.
Yeah. You can do like a chalupa kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Muchaco kind of thing. That's just the tortilla part.
Yep.
You can put whatever you want in there.
Fuzzy fish roast beef. Yeah. Yep, that's a it's my do get pizza.
Though, man. It's
love it.
Yeah.
And I almost never get tired of it.
No.
I never when I was on the weight loss contest, I stopped, didn't eat pizza because it's very high in carbs and all everything else. And I was like, God damn it, I want to eat pizza. It was the only food that I missed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like the diet pizza is not good. You don't want a diet pizza.
Oh yeah, get the cauliflower cut. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the places like Top That Pizza, Pie Five, where they like make the little pizza in front of you and then slide it in the oven and you eat it. Oh man, those places are so good. I mean, they stole the idea from Kramer, but that's as close as you can get to doing that without actually touching the food yourself. Yep. Well, that's our bonus episode this month. Thank you everybody for supporting the show. Thanks for listening. Hope you keep listening. If you have any pizza suggestions, please leave us a voicemail, 704-750-9434. And, see you next month.